Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Good morning, everyone. We're back in the 12th floor of the State Capitol for the admin portion of the Public Service Commission meeting on February 11th, 2015. There are a number of items on consent. I move passage of those items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay.
Now Jack is officially signed to cases now? Excellent.
Excellent. To have you on board, Jack. Okay, so we'll move to discussion matters with the commission. We have five. I have one to add, so that makes it six. And we'll go ahead and start at the top unless my colleagues would like to go in a different order for any certain reason. All righty. We'll start with number one, which is participation in the State Fair, 2015 State Fair. Stacy.
No, it seems early, but the reason I'm bringing up now is I did receive the information about our booth space, and we have to put down our fee by February 20th if we want it again. And I know that there was some mixed feelings about participating again, so thought I would bring it up and get everyone's feelings as to whether we want to move forward with doing it again or let it go this year.
Appreciate you bringing this up. And I know at the conclusion of last year's, you put together kind of a report or summarized some things about last year's experience. Did you happen to bring that, Stacey?
I had put together like an estimated cost of what it cost us last year. Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah, and I think maybe we had a discussion with some points that were made, and I'm not recalling all of those, so I'm hoping you have notes of what we talked about.
I don't know that we had, like, specific notes. I know that my feelings after doing it for 1 year was I didn't feel that we got a lot out of it, in my opinion. Most people never stopped to talk. If they did, they just wanted to grab a cup and walk on. I know Daryl was there last year, too, and also Mike Diller and, oh, yeah, you were there, right, last year? So some other people who participated could give their feelings, but I rarely had somebody that stopped at all, and if they did, like I said, they just wanted a cup.
Well,
and they really didn't discuss anything, but.
Okay. As I guess I propose that we, in lieu of the fact that it was hard to get staff to volunteer because everyone's so busy. And based on the experience of what you just described, Stacey, I think we should take a pass for a year. We can always revisit it again in the future. But
and the other thing that I do remember being discussed that we can explore is ND One Call does a booth there every year too. And actually last year they were like just one row down from me. And so if we wanted to join efforts a little bit and join them at their booth and do some things that might be possible. I haven't asked Ryan about that, but that might be an avenue to do something if we want to, but not have to devote as much time, you know, to covering every single day because they would have the booth there anyway.
Mm-hmm. I talked to Ryan about that a while back because I agree with you, Madam Chair. I don't think it's worthwhile use of all the resources, but then we could help them and still do something because most of the cups are all the 811 cups. And so if somebody wants to do it, we could go up and help out. I might wander up there for a day, but that way we're not locked into all that.
One kind of conflicting idea, but I'm not going to say that I feel real strongly about this. In fact, it was more an afterthought when I seen it on here. And unfortunately, I never got the time yesterday then to go and talk to Sue about this. But you know, we have a lot of people that frequent the State Fair that are ag producers. And, you know, it's a good time for ag producers to learn about different crops, different equipment, things like that. Maybe one thing that we could have been doing differently that might have attracted more attention was to emphasize our licensing program and, you know, the differences between the protections that are available if you have a contract as opposed to if you don't. Emphasizing the importance of notifying us if you haven't been paid when you think you should have been paid and that sort of thing. But on the other hand, I don't know that message is enough reason for us to try and staff a booth for 9 days and pay whatever it costs to to have a booth. So, but I had that thought, so I wanted to throw it out in case that
would be a nice focus and very appropriate for the state fair, especially considering that audience. I wonder. My problem with the booth is you're sort of off the beaten path. I mean, it is in an area where people know they can run through booths, but there's so much else at the fair that you just kind of don't go in that building.
Yeah, and I did find my cost estimate from last year. It was a little over $2,700 for us to do it, yeah, including the booth fee and travel time. And
well, that's pretty affordable outreach. I mean, in the scheme of things, that's not a lot of money to spend reaching citizens if we felt like we could do that in an effective way.
That was with no hotel stays. We all drove back and forth every day.
Yeah, that's also, yeah, adding some pretty cooperative staff volunteer hours in there.
Well, the only thing I thought of, Madam Chair, is if we've jostled this back and forth many years, is that if we do decide to do whatever, I think we just should assign by section. Reclamation, you've got these days. Bud, you got these days, because if we're going to do it, we should just make everybody pony up, because it's so hard. The volunteers are so hard. Everybody's so busy, and there's a travel back and forth risk about our employees driving up there early, staying there all day, driving back home. That's a risk that I don't know that we need to incur sometimes. So I like the idea of just
and the weekends. Share. It covers 2 weekends too, which last year I didn't get any volunteers for the weekends, of course. So I covered them, but I think covering 2 weekends also,
yeah.
Challenge. It's challenging because nobody wants to do that. But
do other staff have thoughts?
I don't know. Mike was there last year, I know.
Just a comment. I've been up there every year since I've been here, and last year I don't recall anybody even stopping the booth other than people I knew, you know. And so, I mean, I have to agree that this last year particularly, in the 2 days that I was there, there was not a whole lot of response. As far as our booth was concerned,
I don't have anything else to add. My two primary questions were: can I have another cup, and can I have two pens? Had a nice visit with Bob and Susan Weefald. She was interested in what we did. And beyond that, quite frankly, I guess. Laughable would be too strong of a word, but I felt a little uncomfortable as a state employee burning up a whole day doing something like that. I felt like others might even be looking at me, the other vendors around me looking at me like, look at that state employee, we're paying him to be at a booth. And so I was a little uncomfortable, but I knew Stacy was in a bind, and I did it anyway.
All right. Well, I guess I propose we pass on State Fair this year.
Here's I'm good with
that.
Okay. Do you mind if we help out in 811 a little bit, we being just me? I might do that, or if we got an extra day just to maybe give them our cups or something.
Yeah, I think it's fine. Yeah, absolutely.
Fair enough.
Okay. Item number 2, Mr. Kulk.
I've been waiting for this all day. I just want to keep my colleagues up to date on what's going on. And I have a question for Alana or Jerry first. You know how we voted that we can delegate the commission's authority to me to vote for MISO? Do we have to do that to vote for a Southwest Power Pool? It's one of those oddities where I'm voting on behalf of the North Dakota, but or is that already taken care of?
Is there a similar organization like
yes,
the organization of MISO states?
Yes.
Because that's where that motion came, is that you're representing the vote on that organization.
We will be. So, I will be have the a member of North Dakota Commission will be allowed to vote come October on the Regional State Committee of Southwest Power Pool, just like OMS or MISO. And so I wanted to.
Okay. Then, yes, we would do the same kind of thing for that.
Okay, so we should probably look at that. And then for Randy and Julie, the way it's kind of playing out for Southwest Power Pool, I went down to that meeting, and Basin is doing the heavy load on all the technical committees, and I think that's appropriate. David and Jerry are kind of watching it develop, but Basin will be involved in the cost allocation group. Basin will be involved in all those little groups. We get one seat in the regional state committee, which is kind of like the oversight. The meetings are quarterly, so I'll try to go to all those. And then I've asked David and Casey to come with to the next Southwest Power Pool meeting in Tulsa in April. And then we just have to watch that. The challenge for Southwest Power Pool is we're not going to get reimbursement of funds until probably October, November, right, Jerry?
Once we become members, I think they'll give us travel reimbursement.
Right. So, but I do think it's important that we are there now, because already involved in the discussion among some of their working groups to transition us in. And what's going to be really interesting is Basin's not used to working with us in this capacity. So we'll want to know what Basin's issues are so we can represent them on the Regional State Committee. So I've talked to Nijhuag a little bit about how we develop that, but it's different. Like, we have such a good relationship with our investor owns, we talk all the time. But I think it's playing out. I mean, Jerry, anything I missed in Southwest Power Pool that we should throw out to my colleagues?
I don't think so. I think that's it for now. You know, we have the March 3rd meeting coming.
Well, they're coming here.
Southwest Power Pool won't, but it's an RTO update.
Well, that's right.
And we were talking about inviting Basin to that.
Okay.
Just to confirm, our involvement in SPP isn't necessarily because of any connection with Basin as much as it is with our regulatory oversight of MDU and Otter Tail and their potential interaction with the transmission grid that SPP has.
The way
correct?
I read this.
No? Tell me how we – this.
We're in because we have siting authority over Basin.
The Charter of Southwest Power Pool lays out the membership, and if you cite generation – you get a seat on there. So just what Jerry said, that's the hook for us to be in there, to have a seat in the RSC. And South Dakota will be in the same boat. So I've talked to Chris Nelson down there and asked who there's going to be their counterpart so I can meet with either, I suppose it'll be like Chris or Christy down there probably. Mm-hmm.
Do the policies, though, affect just siting? I mean, they affect a lot of rates, it seems like, and which would be impacting Basin customers, and we don't have any approval process over that.
That's right. We'll be have a seat on the board, like OMS, the Regional State Committee Board, and so we'll have a voice in decisions that affect what Basin is paying, even though we don't have jurisdiction over their rates.
Okay.
And that's the relationship building to understand their issues, to be able to explain them. And there is a potential of, you know, Basin, this may be good for Basin, but may not be good for MDU. We'll just sort through
Yeah,
that.
So that was going to be my next question. What happens when Basin is advocating for one thing and it has a negative impact on MDU or Otter Tail? Where do we fall on that?
Yeah, I mean, case by case, I guess.
Is there some legal precedent? I mean, do we advocate for the customers that were involved in regulating on rates?
I think we would do whatever we thought was right on the issue. You know, we have some responsibility for MDU's customers through their rate regulation, but I guess in a way we have responsibilities to try and keep Basin's customers minimize costs as well. So.
Absolutely. But that's
Alana, do you agree with that statement?
It's not a legal responsibility.
It's not. And there isn't legal precedent in something like this RTO situation. There's the more obvious precedent of when something is happening on the interstate level at FERC, for example, and you intervene because it's going to impact your local customers eventually. Mm-hmm. And then you have your local regulation also. And this is in between that. So there's not a lot of legal precedent on the RTO part of that spectrum. But I do think it's probably case by case, and you have to be just aware of it. Mm-hmm. Make sure you really have a handle on it so that you can think of that issue before you go too far down one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. And then I just had one other quick question on this issue. you'll be going to the quarterly SPP.
As much
whatever
as possible.
Not OMS meeting, but that board.
The Regional State Committee.
Regional State Committee. Are you going to the OMS meetings quarterly too?
Yes. I have not done that till now, but I'm going to be – Jerry and I and David are going to OMS the week after NARUC, so I will do that too. And that's where I asked Casey to start looking into the FERC filings and those kind of things, because I think that's one thing that we might find ourselves as a commission filing to FERC directly, because we may or may not agree with OMS or – I'm sorry, MISO, or may not agree with Southwest Power Pool. So it's going to get very – dicey here before long. As long as everybody agrees, it'll be fine, but I just see a lot of opportunities for conflict that we're going to have to decide. And I certainly would never cast a vote that is controversial without coming back and talking to the two of you about it. Most of them are procedural votes.
And but then, you need to be able to think on your feet while you're down there, too. We can't stop everyone else in the world's actions to accommodate our schedule of when we have a meeting called and when we can get together. So at some point, you need to be able to represent us.
And Jerry usually sees these things long ahead of time. It's not like they usually throw stuff at us at that meeting. There's a prep up to it, and we know where we're going, I think, before we get there. So,
and is this part of the portfolio? Is this a responsibility that will migrate with the transmission portfolio?
That's the way I understand it. I'll look at Alana and Jerry who are around when it started, but it's usually been whoever held transmission because Susan started it, and then when Tony took over transmission, he picked it up. Then I took over transmission, I picked it up. And admittedly, didn't do as much in MISO the last year or so as probably we should have. But only X amount of time, too.
Right. Okay.
But Jerry's been pulling the load.
Yeah. Practically, the commissioner with that portfolio is probably best for to be on the board.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. It just seems like it's one of those really technical issues, so to get up to speed on it, you know.
Yeah, keep
not that easy to hand off, but also a good chance to learn too. All right.
That's all I had, ma'am.
All righty. Thank you. PSC logo update, Stacy.
You guys should have a copy of a letter from Commerce in your packets. The North Dakota in our logo is trademarked by Commerce. And what they have done is they've changed the font on the North Dakota. And you'll see on your letter that I included, the new font is at the top. Yep. And then you'll see what the old one looked like at the bottom. So regardless of what we decide, we have to change the font of our North Dakota. And here's the other part that gets kind of tricky. They're no longer allowing people to use the North Dakota by itself. You have to have the legendary underneath it. So if we're going to continue using their trademark North Dakota, we have to put legendary underneath it in our logo. So we have two options, to put the legendary and use it, or we'd have to just do a complete new font for our logo.
Well, I think it's appropriate if you say legendary public service commission.
And here, the other thing is, that? I did talk with Tammy in the Commerce office, and she said they are actually encouraging state agencies to use the legendary because they want to brand it as more than just a tourism logo. Because I kind of questioned whether it looks weird to have legendary in our logo, and she said actually that's what we kind of would like agencies to do, so I'll just throw that in there. They want to really start branding it as more than just a tourism logo, so I'll just throw that in as you consider this.
Well, I'll jump in quick because I I like consistency, and I like the fact that they're trying to get agencies to use it, and having every single state agency with a different logo just doesn't make sense. This has already been bought and paid for, so why wouldn't we just use it? But I'd like to see what Public Service Commission looks like under legendary, you know. So I'm assuming right now we don't have legendary and we have Public Service Commission, right, under
right.
North Dakota?
Right, we just have the North Dakota and then Public Service Commission.
Uh-huh.
Do I have a sample of it somewhere? We don't put it on our agenda.
So I guess that would be my only thoughts. I have no problem using it and sticking with that. And they want legendary. Legendary seems kind of big, but I'm assuming that's part of the
requirement, too. Yeah, I think that's going to be how it is, and you can't change it at all.
So then do we make Public Service Commission smaller than that, the same font? You'll have to figure that out. I'd be interested in seeing some proposals from you on that, Stacey.
Okay. Any other thoughts about being legendary?
I would defer to the chair's guidance on this. I just have a question. Can I still wear my baseball cap that says Public Service Commission on it?
Yes. That was the other thing I did ask. They're not asking agencies to go back and change everything that they already have printed, like our booth and stuff. She said just going forward, we want you to incorporate. So, yeah, I did ask that. They're not asking us to go back and reprint everything that we have. We would just change it on our website and then going forward make sure that we incorporate it into the things that we print and do.
Randy, any thoughts?
Well, this is certainly the kind of, you know, monumental and impactful decision that probably made us all aspire to seeking public office.
It is.
Whatever. I don't care.
Okay, I will get a mock-up with the legendary and send it out to you guys. And the way I understand it is that Scott had used central duplicating to actually create the files. Mm-hmm, so I'll correct. Have to reach out to them to help me with that.
Whatever Scott did, don't necessarily take that as a good thing.
I just need help with the files.
I will say I'm just glad Stace is on top of it before we get in trouble. I'm sure it would probably have severe penalties.
Al Jaeger will be up here raising
it. It is trademark
right
logo.
North Dakota, so and forget to say legendary.
Logo police will be all over you. Okay, thank you, Stacey. Appreciate that. Number four, damage prevention enforcement outstanding balance cases. Julie Prescott, who is represented by Pat Fawn.
Oh, well. This could wait.
Okay.
She's not here, and she can bring that up.
Fair enough. Okay. Then the number five, filing fee request, Jerry Lean.
I sent an email around on that. And basically, we have a request from Infinity, from Casey Whalen, to refund part of the siting fee balances that they have out there. Casey, in his request, said that they would like to leave a balance of $20,000 in each case, plus the obligation that we've got. On today's agenda, you had contracts for the siting inspectors on consent, and so those we would pay later.
Did you say that you'd have $20,000 on top of what we know we're going to need for them?
That's what he asked to do, but, you know, we have a rule on siting fee refunds, and the rule was put in place before we started contracting out the inspection contracts. And it says, quote, after all siting permits and certificates are issued by the commission and after all notice and hearing costs and expenses are paid, the commission will refund to the applicant all of the application fee paid by the applicant except $5,000 or the amount of the fee that's remaining. And now we don't pay these contracts until after construction is completed, or at least all of the contract till after construction is completed. And so what I'm suggesting is that we keep, you know, consistent with the rule, we keep money to pay that obligation that we've made on the contracts plus the $5,000 for the rule and refund the rest and make that our process going forward. And then,
can you repeat that, the process going forward, what you just said there, Jerry?
Keep the money, pay all of the expenses that we incurred in the hearing and everything, and then keep enough money in the account to pay the contracts for the inspectors, plus $5,000 is kind of a fund in case something happens that you need some money for, and then refund the rest of it. I think that would be consistent with the rule, and then we should tweak the rule a little bit next time we do a rulemaking to recognize that that we keep that obligation expense plus the $5,000. It's not quite what the rule is saying, but it's close.
Come on.
Yeah. So I guess in a nutshell, I'd like to give back Infinity everything except the inspection contract fee and the $5,000.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't we argue that that what you just proposed is exactly what we're saying, because the rule says after all notice and hearing costs and expenses are paid, well, we haven't paid for the contract, the construction inspection contract.
That's exactly my point. That expense has not been paid yet, so we're issuing this refund before all of the expenses are paid.
Would you refresh me on what the inspections look for?
We look at construction and to see that it's constructed in the way that it was said to be done in the orders. But then afterwards, we want to see that their reclamation is as it should be as well. And so there's a post-construction inspection where we want the project looked at after it's done to make sure it was all done in compliance with the order. And then there's also generally a couple of inspections, one or two of them, depending on what they've proposed to do in their proposals during construction. They go on site and look to see how everything's being done.
Well, it seems to me that, you know, the after expenses, you know, the way you're proposing doing this is correct, because that's an expense that's coming up. And so I think we're certainly fine within our rules to withhold that. But I'm also not sure we should be paying much of anything back until after expenses and the inspections have been passed, because just like we just released, I forget the numbers exactly, but roughly $375,000 on a 640-acre mine bond. If we hold only what it's going to cost us for the after-construction inspection plus $5,000, what about when one of these comes up sometime that didn't do reclamation or didn't do it appropriately and we're sitting here with $5,000 left? That's nothing to force reclamation with. It's not even a start.
This isn't a bond, though. I mean, this isn't intended for that. This is a siting fee.
And I think that if they're in violation of the act, that you have some fines and so forth that could be levied. So not obeying your order would be a violation of the act.
Well, isn't the siting fee, isn't part of it the reclamation, or else why are we withholding for the post-construction inspection from it?
I think the tree mitigation, I mean, I wasn't around when this got set up, but my read is always we hold the money, and it says right in the rule, when construction, all post-construction are complete, and when the commission has determined any required tree mitigation is satisfactory. So there's a loop in there somewhere, too. To Randy's point, I don't know that this is a decision that we should make. I want to make today. I want to think on this a little bit and talk to Alana and talk to Josh. I like the idea, but I don't know about the hook part of.
Okay. Well, Pat, we have another case of this very same thing, don't we? Didn't you come to me and talk about another company that wanted to have their fee returned?
I think maybe I was talking about these cases.
Was it the same?
I think it was.
Okay.
And now I guess just a little bit about the fee, that the application fee that we receive. You know, it's used to pay for the construction inspection that are done by the outside contractor, the third-party contractors. I mean, there's potential for a situation where Commissioner Chrisman was talking about reclamation wasn't successful. The commission may want to hire the third-party construction inspector again. And so if you don't have any fee left to pay for another inspection, that would be an issue. The only resolution to that in the current law would be to go to the emergency commission and ask for additional dollars. Or I guess there's other potential is that you could ask the company for some of the dollars back. But you're kind of, I don't know, you're kind of on the wrong end of the deal there. Instead of having the money, you got to go out and try to get some money.
I think Jerry makes a good point, though. This, at least my understanding of these fees, it isn't intended to use the fee to go out and fix reclamation that was done poorly by the company.
That's right.
That would be, they'd have a violation of their order or their certificate that they sign, and then they would have to be responsible for doing that, or we could pull their permit.
Yeah, I think there's a, if I remember right, the number was like $250,000 a day or something like that. I mean, it was outrageous.
But isn't part of the process that you hold the money? Granted, you can't use the money to remediate the problem, but you hold the money until remediation is complete, so it incentivizes them to fix it, or they know they're not going to get their money back. That's the way I would always understood it. It's kind of like the carrot and the stick, that you can't use that money to remediate, but you hold that money until we're satisfied, and then we return it to them. Mm-hmm. So,
and you can use that money for the extra work that you have
right.
while that is going on. That's the part of it. You might need money to go monitor again or inspect three times instead of once.
Right.
something
like that. Not to mention when we assess large penalties, if that were to ever be needed, then we can wind up to expect to be in district court and fighting against some rather substantial companies with a pretty large team of lawyers. And, I'm not sure that we want to allow ourselves to get into that situation.
Would we be able to use a siting fee to cover that?
Off the top of my head, I don't know that you'd use it to prosecute a violation. You use it to process the case,
right?
Whatever that entails, but subject to a little more thinking.
Mm-hmm. Just like we
do. That legal fund in the legislature, the name, I
don't know. Mm-hmm. So my point was to try to follow the rule here as best we can.
I think what we should do is set up a work session to talk about this more. And as soon as possible, I think we need to be sensitive to the fact that this is their money and they're entitled to get it back. And we should just be withholding what we think we reasonably need with some sort of cushion. But it sounds to me like my colleagues have more issues that we probably need to talk about and think about. And so we should perhaps set up a work session. Is that what you guys would like to do?
I think that'd be good.
I think that's good. I agree with what you're saying, Julie. I think I just interpret the rule a little different than Jerry does. So that's why I think a work session is good. And I agree with you. Let's get the money back to them. Otherwise, what will happen is then we'll lose the ability to collect the siting fees.
Exactly.
I can see that flip side of it.
And so there's sensitivity downstairs with policymakers about us taking this money and keeping it and using it appropriately, et cetera. So I think we need to stay focused on that as well. So.
Could I ask one thing, Madam Chair, that Josh and Alana, I'm going to have a memo as well as Jerry for the work session, so we have your thoughts a little more organized so we can look at those ahead of time? Because I think for me, once...
And Pat.
Yep.
That's a good idea, Brian.
Just to have it to kind of go through.
Okay. Work session on siting fee refunds. We'll add that to scheduling. All right. Thanks, Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
Tell the company we'll get back to them as soon as we can here.
We'll do.
They've triggered a good discussion. All right. I just wanted to the last item I had wanted to mention. A while back we talked about having a discussion on our renewable energy credits.
The RECs.
Where is that? Are we doing that?
Scheduling.
Oh, it's under scheduling this time?
No, we scheduled it.
Oh, we did?
Yeah. Didn't we schedule it already? I thought we had it on there.
Number seven.
Good job, Mike. All right. Okay, anything else for discussion matters? Oh. All right, we'll move to scheduling then. Is there an order of importance for these hearings that we should do some first so we don't clog up our schedule? We've got a couple work session, formal hearing. Nope. Number two has been crossed off, so cross number two off.
I would say 4 and 6 and 8 would be the last three, huh?
You can cancel number 4 because we are scheduled for March for the director's meeting.
Okay. So let's start with the let's start with number 3.
The solar portfolio hearing. I'm sorry. I've talked to Xcel Energy to determine a good date for a hearing, and we think the first full week of May would work for staff and the company. I've almost finished writing my testimony already, but the company wants a couple of months to respond to it, so I suspect that they have lots of things going. I hope they're not going to spend 2 months rebutting 15 pages of testimony.
All right.
Anyway, that date
so
works.
The first week... Is starting any time in May?
Sure.
All right.
You're going to ask how long do I think it'll take? Probably a day.
All right. Are you, Brian, Rand, you gone that week at all?
No, I'm home. The 5th is the only thing I'm showing as a conflict. The Southwest Power Pool is coming up here. I'm free that whole week.
I have a conflict on the 4th, but the 6th, 7th, 8th are open.
How about the 6th? Should we say May 6th? Start at 9?
8:30? No, I don't care.
Yeah. Do you think it will, should we leave more time?
All right. It's always twice as long as you think.
Yeah, let's start at 8:30. That's a good point, Mike. May 6th at 8:30 in Bismarck. All right. Oops, that's number three.
Number seven looks like a quick one.
I think we're going to go to number one. Victor, work session. Are you involved in this? Who takes the lead on this? Pat? Work session, Northern Excavating Damage Prevention Enforcement. Now, we still have another hearing.
We've closed the first round, though, so we can...
Okay, so we can get those taken care of and move on.
To discuss the first round, you can schedule a work session for that if you want to.
Yeah. Did they give us dates for proposed orders? Is there such a thing in this?
They were requested, but we don't have a date of when we're getting it unless Victor knows.
We are planning to have them ready by the first week of March.
Okay.
And Alana, what happens in cases like this where someone is not represented by counsel, or would we expect them to write orders? Or
no, but he's entitled to. I talked with him about that.
And so he understands how that works and that he is entitled.
I think he does. We talked about it at the end.
Okay.
And said it wasn't a mandate we were putting on him to just burden him some more, but he was entitled to if he wanted to. I don't think he will, but that I did try to explain that.
Okay, thanks for doing that.
Okay, so should we look at the, you think you'll have them by the first week of March, maybe
on
by
March
the...
March 2nd or 3rd.
Okay.
Ready.
So, Brian, Randy, are you in later that week?
4th and 5th, they're all good.
All right.
You got a hearing the 2nd, right? A transmission update the 3rd, so you have 4th and 5th for me are wide open.
All right, why don't we, because next week we have... Nope, you're tied up.
Well, this could be probably later in the day. It wouldn't take a whole day. Remember, we were trying to save a couple days in each week for when our budget might be presented, so that we didn't have to like block off whole weeks.
Right.
We were not able to work with them.
That's right, because the House will be starting that time.
But well, do we have anything on Friday afternoon after our legislative tracking?
I don't. The 6th in the afternoon or even like 11?
Yeah, they're not going to have any hearings after afternoon on Friday.
Oh, maybe. So Friday the 6th at 1:30? Does that work for you, Brian? No? You out of town?
No, I can make that work.
Okay. Does that work for staff? March 6th, the work session on Northern Excavating, number one under scheduling.
I don't know if...
Friday, March 6th at 1:30.
Do we need to go that late? If we finish our director's meeting, would everybody be able to do their lunches a little early in case anyone has to go somewhere in the afternoon? It doesn't matter to me. But
I was. Do they still do any hearings on that morning? I was just trying to leave the morning open for that potential.
Right, and I think that's a good thing to do. But, I mean, if we have our legislative tracking meeting from 10 to 11, if we had our lunches, we could probably be done by 12:30 or something like that. And,
right.
And for sure start by 12:30 or 1. I don't know if anyone needs to get going on Friday afternoon, that you want to start earlier than 1:30.
Yeah. Anybody want to be done sooner?
No, whatever you
want. Okay, good idea.
So 11, is that what you said?
No, I think we're leaving the morning open in case the House schedules a hearing, but we'll start after lunch. If we could always change it as we get closer to, couldn't we?
Yeah.
This isn't a notice issue. I mean, you don't need like a 30-day notice or anything, yeah.
30 minutes.
If that week shakes out and we're able to move it to 11 o'clock right after a legislative hearing, we will do that.
Madam Chair, would you mind if we made it an hour and a half? Just because I had another request to do a work session on just damage prevention thoughts, and I'll just cue it up a little bit. I'm looking at the law a little bit closer. The excavator is liable for all damages. I didn't understand it as clearly as I do now. And it maybe changed some of the philosophy I have on how we're doing these fines. So I wanted to have some general discussion about that, but we could do that in advance of the work session and kind of all lump it together because it's certainly related, just to give us more than just an hour, if that's okay with you.
I'm fine with that.
So I don't know how I don't think we'd have to notice it any different, but I wanted to talk about just general damage prevention thoughts. So the three of us are sending the right signals to the people out there that are making decisions.
Sounds like a separate issue.
Like a separate issue. If there's generic, these are going to be cases. There should have been case numbers on this agenda.
It is a separate issue, but yeah. If we could pair it up, even if a half hour this.
Yeah, you can pair it up. That's fine. Yeah. But you can put them both at the same time and then follow immediately thereafter kind of thing to the second one. I don't know what order you want them in.
You want the general discussion first.
If that's okay.
Sure.
Just work session on, I don't know what we'd call it, not even a work session.
Damage prevention.
Your work session.
Parameters.
Yeah, sure.
Legal parameters or
just
I don't know.
Parameters. Pat pointed something out to me a little clearer in law than I understood, and I think it changes some of the thoughts that I've had in the past.
Okay, so that'll be at 1:30. We'll start that. Well, let's just start at 1 o'clock, and then we'll go till we're done. 1 o'clock followed by the Northern Excavating Damage Prevention Enforcement work session. Does that work?
Yeah, perfect, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then we have the work session on renewable energy credits. You finished your donut now, so you're...
I contacted or sent an email to the three investor-owned utility companies and suggested the third week of April, and if I didn't hear back from them, that would be the week we would work towards. So I didn't hear back from them. I believe the third week in April is good for the utility companies.
Okay.
So the third full week or?
Like the 20th, the week of the 20th?
Yes.
All right. I'm pretty open right now on that week.
Except for
Monday mid-morning, but otherwise.
This is what I thought. We have rec presentation at 8 o'clock on our schedule already for April 22nd. What is that for?
I don't have it.
I don't have that.
I don't know.
I thought that's what this already was. Oh, now I know what it's for.
You're going to go learn how to play recreational racquetball at that time?
No, I'll be in Montana on this issue on a different format for power lines.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's which day, the 22nd? So now you're tied up.
I'm gone that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And Thursday is the Lignite annual meeting. If that's what works, I don't need to be there. It'd be nice, but I don't want to.
This is a full day thing, pretty much, Mike? Or were we going to back to back meet?
All three utility companies will present their ideas on whether or not you should retire RECs or not. And
half day.
Jerry thinks half day. I think you could do it in a couple of hours myself, but.
Are we tied up with Lignite Energy Council quarterly annual meeting, or what is that on? I've got just one thing on the 23rd for that. What is that? Lignite, what's going on with
No, I think you're exactly right. I'm tied up that afternoon the 22nd. I'm open the 23rd. It's just we usually go down there, so we could certainly do this in lieu of that. I just put it out.
Is it possible to do this the week before on one day other than we have a formal hearing on Wednesday?
Yeah, if you pick a different day, We'll just go back and
16th.
Because the legislature is going to end either that week or the following week, and there could be a lot of times when they're going to want us down in some committee to address some change or something. And I think the more open we can keep our schedules at that time, the better off we're going to be.
I thought they were already going to be done.
I fear not.
So you're thinking the 16th like that? April 16th, it's a Thursday.
I think that would be a better week to have it for us, or get out into May, one of the two.
Either one, they don't really have to do any retiring until the end of the year, so it's not like it's...
Well, maybe let's wait till after the session then. Yeah. Then we don't have any issues, because who knows when they're going to be,
You wouldn't mind just still picking a date.
Sure, May. Let's look in May then. We just scheduled that May 6th time, right? For the NSP ADP.
I'm pretty.
Do we, the 7th?
We did the 7th.
And then
the,
some of them will be already be here.
Perfect.
Okay.
By me.
What time?
In the morning, then.
We'll start at 9, how about?
Okay.
Okay.
Did you say this was an all day?
Well, 9 to noon. Should we block off the morning?
How about 10 to noon? That way, you know, companies like Otter Tail, you know, they can get here. And how about 10 o'clock? 10 to noon.
On May 7th.
You know,
and if we have to go through the lunch hour, we can.
It's not that complicated, I don't think.
All right.
Not to you, Mr. Diller.
Okay, informal hearing. So that's May 7th, 10 to noon. For number 7 there. Okay, we have a work session on, well, we got to talk about the deadline for flight notifications. Let's pair that. I wanted to set up another work session to talk about some staffing and organizational issues that would just really be the three of us.
Beautiful.
And then we could pair that with that discussion on the flight notifications, because I don't know that staff has a lot of input that they think that's something that we're all kind of debating. Yeah. Is that right?
I'd even call it broader than flight notifications, just protocol on hearing, scheduling, rescheduling, something like that, because the flight notification is just part of it.
Right.
It could be whether we're driving or don't drive, and what the, I mean, just, it's a lot of things.
Okay, so staff, let's see what our schedules are like here in the fairly near.
And were we also going to try and schedule a work session on the siting fee refund?
Yes, that's next.
Okay.
Quite persistent, aren't you, Mr. Leon? Take note of that, Jack and Casey.
Okay, so Brian, Randy, let's see. Next week is kind of ugly. We're going to have to look at the 23rd.
Of April?
Yeah, that week.
Same as before.
When are you looking at?
The week of February 23rd.
Oh, February.
Yeah, I kind of thought. Brian's talking about April and you're talking about February.
I'm all buggered up.
And I was just looking at March, so.
I'm gone the 23rd to the 26th with Jerry to that MISO stuff.
Well, crossover is on the 27th, so we could, let's maybe meet right after our legislative tracking meeting. Would that work?
Works for me. I'm back on the 26th.
10:30, 11, wait, say 10 to 11. Well, we better do that afternoon. I'm sorry, I've got an 11:30. Or earlier, we could do 9.
Do after, so we don't have a constraint in the backside.
Okay, so 1 o'clock.
That's okay.
Staffing and organization, February 27th. And staffing, organization, and hearing arrangements.
Yeah, that sounds
1 p.m.
As long as I can make it to the Mule Deer Banquet on Saturday. So we got to be done Friday night.
And then we've got, I think we can handle that. We'll be done.
Just one thing, just in case people are listening, I think you misspoke. You said that would just be for the three of us, and I think you meant that staff don't need to schedule out time.
Exactly.
Of course, it's a public meeting.
Thank you for clarifying that. Absolutely. Of course, it's a public meeting, and the doors will be open. Yes. But staff don't need to plan on coming. Okay. Then finally, the work session on siting fee refunds. Do we want to do that same day? How much? The 27th, that afternoon?
Sure.
Unless you can do it sooner.
Doesn't sound like it, because next week, between the three of us, we're all gone next week. There's no day next week where all three of us are here, and then Brian's gone the following week with you. So we need you and Brian for that discussion. So I think the 27th is the next available date. Unless, of course, we wanted to do it Friday morning, this Friday morning. Nope, that doesn't work for me. Sorry. Tomorrow.
The 27th would work for me. And if you wanted to switch that around and do it before the one that we just scheduled.
Sure.
So that, you know, just in case there's any staff that's involved with this that has, you know, needs to go somewhere else early on Friday, that they could.
Sure. That sounds like a good idea. So we'll start this one, the work session on siting fee refunds at 1 o'clock, and then we'll follow up with the staffing, organization, and hearing arrangements.
Jerry, can you touch base with MDU, Ottertail, and Excel, too, and get their input on the siting refunds business? Just to, they might have a different viewpoint that we haven't thought of.
Sure.
I just threw it to you. I don't know who it should be, but just it'd be nice to – we got Casey's perspective from the wind, but maybe there's a viewpoint from them we're missing.
Mm-hmm. I would think that all of the people
who supportive of it.
Applications would want their refunds as soon as they could get them.
Right, but just so we'd make a decision while we're in consult with them.
Are you putting a time on that second one on the 27th, or is it two items in
I would say
order?
Probably two. I would guess we'll talk for an hour on the siting fee refunds.
Madam Chair, I had a question.
Yes.
On February 20th, the three of us are everywhere, and we've got a director's meeting scheduled, so I don't know that that works still.
Yeah, that was the one we talked about yesterday, rescheduling till 1:30 or 2 that afternoon. And, Jer, I think I sent you a note, Daryl, about that.
Right.
Yep.
I just want to make sure because I didn't.
It hadn't come through yet.
Close
yep.
the loop yet on that.
Yep.
Okay.
It doesn't matter to me what time you have it. But if cases matters to you all, I won't be back from the FERC meeting until about 5-6 that evening. So
I knew there was a glitch in that. So you won't.
So yeah. This is you just going to be you two yeah. attending.
And then that morning's meeting, you'd just be you, Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Right.
Which is fine. Okay.
All right. Anything else for scheduling or any other matters? Did we? I hope we didn't forget anything.
I didn't know that I cleared up who should be looking at the Southwest Power Pool motion to add that. Who's going to look at that? You know, like we did for MISO, so the one person is... Okay, I just... Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Thanks, everyone. Have a great weekend. Wait, it's only Wednesday. Can you tell my kids are off school Thursday and Friday? In our house, today starts the weekend.
I thought it was because we've been talking so much about that Friday.
Oh, I think I had too many donuts today. The hearing is adjourned.